This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Me here, you there, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Appreciate you hanging out with us tonight as we've got football back in our lives. And to help us look ahead to the season, we're going out to the Progressive Guest Line, one of my favorite guys to talk ball with. He's Chad Brown, former All-Pro linebacker, 15 years in the National Football League, national champion at Colorado, and he joins us now on the program, and a great shot of him getting a sack as a member of the Seahawks behind him. Love it here. Chad, thanks for doing this, man. And I want to start with a team that played earlier today, and just big picture your thoughts on them, because from a Vegas wise guys perspective, a lot of people are buying the Houston Texans, but you know, the one question is, what are you getting out of C.J. Stroud? That defense is incredible, and you know a ton about defenses. But Stroud, what's your level of belief he can get to a level where this team can really be a contender in the AFC?
To be on with you, Dustin, and I think I'm like most of the football world, but we're not sure what we're going to get. There is a past experience with quarterbacks who can come in early in their career and have some success. But then eventually defenses catch up to them and they don't have another layer to their game. So is C.J. Stroud going to join that list or is he going to break through this season? So on the 13th, I've got the call for Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. I would certainly think for C.J. Stroud, he certainly shouldn't try to go out there and out-duel Josh Allen. Certainly can lean upon that Texans defense. I think DeMeco Ryans is a very smart head coach. Will try to bring his quarterback along slowly and not ask too much of him, because that seems to be the issue. When things get too big for him, then he reverts back to some very poor habits. So I'm not exactly sure. Obviously, that game early in the season will be a great tell for me to see him with my own eyes in person as to how much he's grown since some of these more recent past issues.
Yeah, the Bills, 1.5-point favorites on the road at Houston Sunday, September 13th, totals 44.5. Let's go to the other end of that contest. Joe Brady's got quite the pressure on him this year. You take over a team where it's like Super Bowl or bust, or it's a failure. You'll be calling the game on Compass Media. What do you make of Buffalo this year, the addition of DJ Moore, and the pressure on Joe Brady and Josh Allen to get this done?
Last time we saw Josh Allen, he threw 4 interceptions against the Broncos. So Josh Allen, well, I just talked about asking too much of C.J. Stroud. Now, the Buffalo Bills have asked a lot of Josh Allen. Some games he's their leading rusher and, of course, their leading passer. But when you ask too much of him, or maybe he asks too much of himself and doesn't lean upon his teammates, then we see games like he had against the Broncos in the playoffs. Put up tremendous yardage numbers, but got careless with the football because he was trying to do too much. So he's able to rein himself in and play within himself and begin to trust his teammates. I necessarily can't think of a clear football example, but think about Michael Jordan. Once he learned to trust his teammates, they went on a championship run. Think about Kobe Bryant. Once he learned to trust his teammates, they went on a championship run. So the Bills are kind of maybe at that precipice. Does Josh Allen still try to keep it as a one-man show, or does he try to, you know, use the weapons around him, even though they may not be superstar weapons, and trust that they can do enough to take enough pressure off of him where he can play within himself?
No, it's a great call. I mean, James Cook is a stud. DJ Moore's in. Maybe Keon Coleman takes a step. And they've got the two tight ends are awesome. So I think it's a really good point here. Chad Brown is our guest, former two-time All-Pro linebacker, Compass Media analyst, at ChadBrown94 on X. You spent 8 years in Seattle. They are the defending Super Bowl champs. And I got to tell you, Chad, I can't remember another season where there's less hype for a team to potentially go back-to-back. On the betting board, they're fourth. The Rams are the favorite, 5.5-1. The Bills are 10-1. The Ravens are 10-1. And then we get to Seattle at 11-1. Are we all sleeping on that? Mike McDonald as a head coach, Sam Darnold back in a loaded defense, where they're capable of doing this again.
Well, this is my response is not just because, you know, there's a picture of me back there as a Seahawk. I think the entire football world is sleeping on the Seahawks. Sam Darnold went through a rough patch, has clearly grown from Minnesota to Seattle last year, and now with another year, I think with Brian Fleury, the new offensive coordinator who came from San Francisco, where he served a multitude of roles out there. When I did a coaching internship with San Francisco, he was a defensive quality control guy, so he could learn about defenses from guys like Robert Saleh. So he comes armed with this experience, first-time OC in Seattle, with this Kyle Shanahan experience on the offensive side of the ball, running the ball, all the tricky stuff that they do, the West Coast passing attack, plus all that time he spent learning defenses as well. So I think he's going to be able to step in and be really good initially in year one. Sam Darnold should grow a bit in more confidence and more belief that this teammates truly believe on him. Because there were some games late in the season where things looked rocky, but he found a way, particularly in the end of those games, to pull things out. Plus that defense, Mike McDonald's done a tremendous job building a wonderful culture there, which is evidenced when you watch Hard Knocks, how much the Seahawks team believes in each other and plays for each other. The best teams I was on in my career weren't the most talented. They were the teams that played the best together and trusted each other. So I know the Rams are sexy and Sean McVay and the multiple tight end offenses and all that. And I can understand why some of the money and attention and eyeballs are going to the Rams. But I think you cannot overlook what John Snyder has put together in Seattle. It's not just a one-year thing. It's a complete program up there right now.
That's a great answer. On the same note, let's talk about the most talented team on paper, at least. The Los Angeles Rams, 5.5-1. It is so hard to punch holes through the roster when you factor in on top of that. There's McVay and Stafford. They bring in Myles Garrett. Aaron Donald is likely returning. Like, the pressure on this team to be almost perfect, it feels almost impossible. But how do the Rams not at least get to the Super Bowl this year, Chad?
It would have to be a weird run of injuries. You talk about all that star power, but at the same time, their offense is based around multiple tight ends forcing the defense to respond in a way that the Rams will always have the right answer. When they put two or three tight ends on the field, of course, defensively, as a defensive coordinator, you want to go with your base package, three linebackers or four linebackers on the field if you're a 3-4 defense. Well, then if you do that, they just decide to throw the ball over your head. Okay, we're going to go with nickel or maybe some kind of big nickel. We'll put a big safety in the game instead of a linebacker. Well, now they run the ball down your throat. They can do both. So the difficulty of defending them, even separate from their very creative and amazing play calling of Sean McVay, just from a personnel standpoint with them utilizing those multiple tight ends, it puts pressure on the defense that is really unique. And it probably goes back to when the Patriots had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez together. They, as an offense, when they put those two tight ends on the field, or the Rams put two or three tight ends on the field this season, they can literally make the defense wrong every single time from a personnel perspective. Of course, the Seahawks in that same division have a guy like Nick Emenwori, that kind of hybrid linebacker, safety guy who can play in the box. Not every team has that guy on the roster. So they're going to be very difficult to defend. Plus, to your earlier point, amazing star power. Quarterback, got it. Edge rusher, got it. Possible interior lineman, one of the greatest to ever play the game, got it. Secondary, that should be better this year. Quentin Lake, son of my former Pittsburgh Steelers teammate, Carnell Lake, growing in that safety spot. So they've got some pieces there that are really undeniable. And to your point, I think most folks would pick them as a Super Bowl favorite. But the NFL is always weird. The ball bounces funny, and injuries are always a factor.
Chad Brown is our guest, all-pro linebacker in the league, Compass Media analyst at ChadBrown94. Last one I'll ask you about is Mike McCarthy coming back with Aaron Rodgers, your former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think people are so negative about that that it actually might end up being a positive. Mike McCarthy wins everywhere he goes. It's Rodgers' last ride. How do you think this transition, though, from Tomlin to McCarthy goes in year one?
Well, we've already heard some of the Steeler players comment about the lack of physicality in this Mike McCarthy camp. Mike Tomlin, they did tackling to the ground multiple times during training camp. I know it's 2026, and a lot of teams don't do that, but that's what the Steelers did every year of the Mike Tomlin era. And that's what we did when it was Bill Cowher. So it's a brand new philosophy in a place where tradition really matters. And I think some of this pushback for Mike McCarthy or even for Aaron Rodgers comes from this kind of traditional style that Steelers fans are used to seeing in this traditional kind of coach process. Let's get a young up-and-coming coach. Let's grow him into the role like a Bill Cowher or Mike Tomlin. Mike McCarthy's obviously not that mold of a young guy. But to your point, he's won everywhere he's been. I think the marriage between him and Aaron Rodgers will probably extract the best possible out of Aaron Rodgers here in what's going to be the last year of his career. So I'm not necessarily thinking deep playoff run for the Steelers. The defense certainly has to improve, particularly in some of the giving up yardage in the run game. But I think there are enough pieces there for them to make the playoffs. But a deep run continuing for the Super Bowl feels past where they are right now as an overall program.
Yeah, win total is 8.5. 9 wins can be doable. Absolutely doable for them this year. Chad, I appreciate you jumping on the show as always. Love talking ball with you. Love to do it throughout the season as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Always a good time, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Awesome stuff. Chad Brown, former All-Pro linebacker, Compass Media. Check him out calling the games all season long. Hey, week zero, it's right around the corner. College football is here. In 1 week, we'll have the kickoff. Plus, we've got the NFL season right behind it. It's the best time to become a VSiN Pro. You will get our college football betting guide, our NFL betting guide, and everything we do at the website right now. That's best bets from every show, betting splits, prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today, $9.99, or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe.
Cashing out. You're on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, one game in the books in the NFL preseason. Final score, 22-20. Raiders get the win. Game goes over the total of 40. We push on the closing number of Raiders laying 2. That's not even the story. You had to watch it happen. Aiden O'Connell with a game-winning touchdown drive, one including a bomb to flip the field, get him down to the goal line with under 40 seconds to go, a tush push to find the end zone. But here's the brutal part. It feels like we're in midseason form. Because the Raiders missed not one, but 2 PATs. We push on the side. Could have covered if they make one of those 2 PATs they miss. Instead, final score 22-20. We go over right at the end of the contest in the fourth quarter. One late night game currently in action. It is the Niners 20, the Chargers 9 right now. Third quarter, 5:47 to go. San Francisco's facing a 3rd-and-10 scenario, though. They're in field goal range for the regular season. Not sure if that matters for the preseason, but in this spot right now, working from around the 20-yard line, and that is a nice play and a first down pickup. Was that Adrian Martinez stepping up in the pocket? Delivers a strike, and that moves the chains. Looks like, is that Jake Tonjes? No, who is that? It's a different tight end. I don't know who that is. Hodge, whoever Hodge is, converts the first down. Now the Niners are down to the goal line. Or first and goal scenario, not at the goal line, probably around what, the 7-yard line for San Francisco. They're up to 12.5 point favorites. 44.5 is currently your total. If the Chargers can limit this drive to a field goal, I think this could be interesting towards the end, but if they score a touchdown, ooh, it might be curtains for Los Angeles, who closed as a -1.5 point favorite, total 38.5 from a total perspective. There's a lot. It feels like there's a lot hinging on this drive here. And I'm curious, after the Niners miss on a first down try for a connection through the air, if we face a fourth down scenario. Earlier in the game, we had one with the Chargers. They opted to bring out the kicking unit. Will Kyle Shanahan do the same? I wonder. Because if you get a fourth down stop there, all of a sudden take some points off the board and makes things interesting depending on if you're over or under on this total right now. You'll feel either positive or negative about the situation. That's a nice run right up the gut by the 49ers. And now We are looking at, let's see, a third and goal coming up. I'm going to stay with this, then I'm going to give you, we had the Pro Football Futures Draft earlier today here on VSiN, 13 competitors, your favorite VSiN hosts, also Keyshawn Johnson in the mix, Nick Bakay, and we brought the guru back, baby, John Hansen, part of the fold. Check it out, VSiN.com, the write-up with a recap of all the picks. On top of that, you can go back and watch the entire thing on YouTube as well. Third and goal coming for San Francisco. Shotgun set. There's a flag. I think that's going to be on the defense. And the ball is fumbled but picked up by Martinez, who is spinning around and just throws it away. But that's going to be a free play and a new set of downs for San Francisco, I believe, with the flag thrown. So it does feel like San Francisco is capable of punching this in. What I wanted to do, since I hosted the Pro Football Futures Draft, is I was willing to take what was left, right? And I didn't experience this as a child. I mean, look at this body. But when other people maybe eat all the good stuff off the dinner table, you're just kind of picking at the bones, trying to get the cartilage and the meat off of it. That's kind of what I'm doing, picking at what's left of the carcass of chicken that's on the dinner table. I'm going to take what everyone didn't choose, and I'll go toe-to-toe with any of them. I'll go toe-to-toe with all of them. The Pro Football Futures Draft by just taking what's left. So let's begin. Here are the rules. I have to take two division winners. I have to take two win total overs, two win total unders, two player props, and two stat leaders. That's what we're looking at here. So we begin with my division winners. And remember, I'm picking what's left. And there's not much. When you factor in 13 people and they each have two of all of these, only 32 teams in the league, y'all. My division winner number one. We are going to go with the New York Giants to win the Eastern Conference. By the way, real quick, that was not a penalty on the defense. Did I just see that was a fourth and goal scenario and the Niners just threw the ball away? What is the penalty here? Holding on the defense now on the fourth and goal. So that's brutal. It's now first down. So everything I just said was going to happen just happened just a play later. My first division winner, we're going to take the New York Football Giants at 6-1. The problem with this one, there was only three left that made sense to me. It was the Giants, the Colts, and the Packers. The first one I'm going to choose out of that group is I'm going to choose the Giants. Year one of Harbaugh, there's an element of surprise. In a world where maybe Philly doesn't get the offense right, the transition from Kingsbury to a new OC in Washington and David Blau doesn't go as smoothly. And then on top of that, Dallas is hyped up a lot. And we know what happens when the Cowboys are very hyped up. Is there a world where John Harbaugh, who is such an upgrade over the schmoes of the past leading the New York Football Giants, is there a world where they can win this division? I like them over on their 7.5 win total. More on that in a moment. But 6-1 to win this division, let's take a shot. Hope that the floor is raised. The defense actually gets better without Dexter Lawrence, in my opinion, because they allocated that money into a bunch of positions in need, and they stunk at stopping the run with him. He didn't help that. He was more of a pass rusher, and the pass rush is plenty deep. The other division winner I'm going to go with, let's take the Packers to win the North, plus 225. Dobbs leaving, Dontavian Wicks is gone. I see that as a positive. You have more defined roles for what was maybe the deepest receiver room in the league. You still have a first-round pick in Matthew Golden. You still have an electric receiver in Christian Watson. Jaden Reed is awesome. And then Tucker Kraft is maybe top three, top four tight end in the league. Plus, they still have backups with Savion Williams and Bo Melton, who've played a ton in their career. On top of that, the other thing I keep hearing, they lost Jeff Hafley to the Dolphins. Guys, they brought in Jonathan Gannon. He may have stunk as a head coach. Look what his defenses did in Philly that got him the Cardinals job. It's going to be huge for their edges, huge for their linebackers. I think Franklin has a great year. I think he unlocks Lucas Van Ness. And then when they get Parsons back in week six, I don't think it's crazy to think this team is 4-1 at that point. There is pressure on Matt LaFleur to deliver. I think Jordan Love, the conversation about him now makes him underrated with the disrespect he's getting. And I'll add this. The North is going to be a bloodbath. It is going to be battles week in and week out. I'm not sure you need much more than 10 wins to win this division here. I think it's that tough top to bottom. So give me the Packers plus 225 to win the North. My win total, the Giants over 7.5. That is one. I'll give you an under. We're going to go with the New Orleans Saints under 7.5 wins. I'm not buying what everyone else is cooking with this team. I just think when you look at Tyler Shuck and what he did down the stretch, it was good. But if the league can figure out CJ Stroud the way that they did,
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Me here, you there, Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Appreciate you hanging out with us tonight as we've got football back in our lives. And to help us look ahead to the season, we're going out to the Progressive Guest Line, one of my favorite guys to talk ball with. He's Chad Brown, former All-Pro linebacker, 15 years in the National Football League, national champion at Colorado, and he joins us now on the program, and a great shot of him getting a sack as a member of the Seahawks behind him. Love it here. Chad, thanks for doing this, man. And I want to start with a team that played earlier today, and just big picture your thoughts on them, because from a Vegas wise guys perspective, a lot of people are buying the Houston Texans, but you know, the one question is, what are you getting out of C.J. Stroud? That defense is incredible, and you know a ton about defenses. But Stroud, what's your level of belief he can get to a level where this team can really be a contender in the AFC?
To be on with you, Dustin, and I think I'm like most of the football world, where we're not sure what we're going to get. There is a past experience with quarterbacks who can come in early in their career and have some success, but then eventually defenses catch up to them and they don't have another layer to their game. So is C.J. Stroud going to join that list, or is he going to break through this season? So on the 13th, I've got the call for Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans. I would certainly think for C.J. Stroud, he certainly shouldn't try to go out there and out-duel Josh Allen. Certainly can lean upon that Texans defense. I think DeMeco Ryans is a very smart head coach. Will try to bring his quarterback along slowly and not ask too much of him, because that seems to be the issue. When things get too big for him, then he reverts back to some very poor habits. So I'm not exactly sure. Obviously, that game early in the season will be a great tell for me to see him with my own eyes in person as to how much he's grown since some of these more recent past issues.
Yeah, the Bills, 1.5-point favorites on the road at Houston Sunday, September 13th. Totals 44.5. Let's go to the other end of that contest. Joe Brady's got quite the pressure on him this year. You take over a team where it's like Super Bowl or bust, or it's a failure. You'll be calling the game on Compass Media. What do you make of Buffalo this year, the addition of DJ Moore, and the pressure on Joe Brady and Josh Allen to get this done?
Last time we saw Josh Allen, he threw 4 interceptions against the Broncos. So Josh Allen, well, I just talked about asking too much of C.J. Stroud. Now, the Buffalo Bills have asked a lot of Josh Allen. Some games he's their leading rusher and, of course, their leading passer. But when you ask too much of him, or maybe he asks too much of himself and doesn't lean upon his teammates, then we see games like he had against the Broncos in the playoffs. Put up tremendous yardage numbers, but got careless with the football because he was trying to do too much. So he's able to rein himself in and play within himself and begin to trust his teammates. I necessarily can't think of a clear football example, but think about Michael Jordan. Once he learned to trust his teammates, they went on a championship run. Think about Kobe Bryant. Once he learned to trust his teammates, they went on a championship run. So the Bills are kind of maybe at that precipice. Does Josh Allen still try to keep it as a one-man show, or does he try to, you know, use the weapons around him, even though they may not be superstar weapons, and trust that they can do enough to take enough pressure off of him where he can play within himself?
No, it's a great call. I mean, James Cook is a stud. DJ Moore's in. Maybe Keon Coleman takes a step. And they've got the two tight ends are awesome. So I think it's a really good point here. Chad Brown is our guest, former two-time All-Pro linebacker, Compass Media analyst at ChadBrown94 on X. You spent 8 years in Seattle. They are the defending Super Bowl champs. And I got to tell you, Chad, I can't remember another season where there's less hype for a team to potentially go back-to-back. On the betting board, they're fourth. The Rams are the favorite, 5.5-1. The Bills are 10-1. The Ravens are 10-1. And then we get to Seattle at 11-1. Are we all sleeping on that? Mike McDonald as a head coach, Sam Darnold back in a loaded defense, where they're capable of doing this again.
Well, this is my response is not just because, you know, there's a picture of me back there as a Seahawk. I think the entire football world is sleeping on the Seahawks. Sam Darnold went through a rough patch, has clearly grown from Minnesota to Seattle last year, and now with another year, I think with Brian Fleury, the new offensive coordinator who came from San Francisco, where he served a multitude of roles out there. When I did a coaching internship with San Francisco, he was a defensive quality control guy, so he could learn about defenses from guys like Robert Saleh. So he comes armed with this experience, first-time OC in Seattle, with this Kyle Shanahan experience on the offensive side of the ball, running the ball, all the tricky stuff that they do, the West Coast passing attack, plus all that time he spent learning defenses as well. So I think he's going to be able to step in and be really good initially in year one. Sam Darnold should grow a bit in more confidence and more belief that his teammates truly believe on him. Because there were some games late in the season where things looked rocky, but he found a way, particularly in the end of those games, to pull things out. Plus that defense, Mike McDonald's done a tremendous job building a wonderful culture there, which is evidenced when you watch Hard Knocks, how much the Seahawks team believes in each other and plays for each other. The best teams I was on in my career weren't the most talented. They were the teams that played the best together and trusted each other. So I know the Rams are sexy and Sean McVay and the multiple tight end offenses and all that, and I can understand why some of the money and attention and eyeballs are going to the Rams, but I think you cannot overlook what John Snyder has put together in Seattle. It's not just a one-year thing. It's a complete program up there right now.
That's a great answer. On the same note, let's talk about the most talented team on paper, at least. The Los Angeles Rams, 5.5-1. It is so hard to punch holes through the roster when you factor in on top of that. There's McVay and Stafford. They bring in Myles Garrett. Aaron Donald is likely returning. Like, the pressure on this team to be almost perfect, it feels almost impossible. But how do the Rams not at least get to the Super Bowl this year, Chad?
It would have to be a weird run of injuries. You talk about all that star power, but at the same time, their offense is based around multiple tight ends, forcing the defense to respond in a way that the Rams will always have the right answer. When they put two or three tight ends on the field, of course, defensively, as a defensive coordinator, you want to go with your base package, three linebackers or four linebackers on the field if you're a 3-4 defense. Well, then if you do that, they just decide to throw the ball over your head. Okay, we're going to go with nickel. Or maybe some kind of big nickel. We'll put a big safety in the game instead of a linebacker. Well, now they run the ball down your throat. They can do both. So the difficulty of defending them, even separate from the very creative and amazing play calling of Sean McVay, just from a personnel standpoint with them utilizing those multiple tight ends, it puts pressure on the defense that is really unique. And it probably goes back to when the Patriots had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez together. They, as an offense, when they put those two tight ends on the field, or the Rams put two or three tight ends on the field this season, they can literally make the defense wrong every single time from a personnel perspective. Of course, the Seahawks in that same division have a guy like Nick Emenwori, that kind of hybrid linebacker, safety guy who can play in the box. Not every team has that guy on the roster. So they're going to be very difficult to defend. Plus, to your earlier point, amazing star power. Quarterback, got it. Edge rusher, got it. Possible interior lineman, one of the greatest to ever play the game, got it. Secondary, that should be better this year. Quentin Lake, son of my former Pittsburgh Steeler teammate, Carnell Lake, growing in that safety spot. So they've got some pieces there that are really undeniable. And to your point, I think most folks would pick them as a Super Bowl favorite, but the NFL is always weird. The ball bounces funny, and injuries are always a factor.
Chad Brown is our guest, all-pro linebacker in the league, Compass Media analyst at ChadBrown94. Last one I'll ask you about is Mike McCarthy coming back with Aaron Rodgers, your former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think people are so negative about that it actually might end up being a positive. Mike McCarthy wins everywhere he goes. It's Rodgers' last ride. How do you think this transition, though, from Tomlin to McCarthy goes in year one?
Well, we've already heard some of the Steeler players comment about the lack of physicality in this Mike McCarthy camp. Mike Tomlin, they did tackling to the ground multiple times during training camp. I know it's 2026 And a lot of teams don't do that, but that's what the Steelers did every year of the Mike Tomlin era. That's what we did when it was Bill Cowher. So it's a brand new philosophy in a place where tradition really matters. And I think some of this pushback for Mike McCarthy or even for Aaron Rodgers comes from this kind of traditional style that Steeler fans are used to seeing in this traditional kind of coach process. Let's get a young up-and-coming coach. Let's grow him into the role like a Bill Cowher or Mike Tomlin. Mike McCarthy's obviously not that mold of a young guy. But to your point, he's won everywhere he's been. I think the marriage between him and Aaron Rodgers will probably extract the best possible out of Aaron Rodgers here in what's going to be the last year of his career. So I'm not necessarily thinking deep playoff run for the Steelers. The defense certainly has to improve, particularly in some of the giving up yardage in the run game. But I think there are enough pieces there for them to make the playoffs. But a deep run continuing for the Super Bowl feels past where they are right now as an overall program.
Yeah, win totals 8.5. 9 wins can be doable. Absolutely doable for them this year. Chad, I appreciate you jumping on the show as always. Love talking ball with you. Love to do it throughout the season as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Always a good time, my friend. Take care of yourself.
Awesome stuff. Chad Brown, former All-Pro linebacker, Compass Media. Check him out calling the games all season long. Hey, week zero, it's right around the corner. College football is here. In 1 week, we'll have the kickoff. Plus, we've got the NFL season right behind it. It's the best time to become a VSiN Pro. You will get our college football betting guide, our NFL betting guide, and everything we do at the website right now. That's best bets from every show, betting splits, prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today, $9.99, or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Justin Sweetelson hanging out with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, one game in the books in the NFL preseason. Final score, 22-20. Raiders get the win. Game goes over the total of 40. We push on the closing number of Raiders laying 2. That's not even the story. You had to watch it happen. Aiden O'Connell with a game-winning touchdown drive, one including a bomb to flip the field, get him down to the goal line with under 40 seconds to go, a tush push to find the end zone. But here's the brutal part. It feels like we're in midseason form because the Raiders missed not one but 2 PATs. We push on the side. Could have covered if they make one of those 2 PATs they missed. Instead, final score 22-20. We go over right at the end of the contest in the fourth quarter. One late night game currently in action. It is the Niners 20, the Chargers 9 right now. Third quarter, 5:47 to go. San Francisco's facing a 3rd-and-10 scenario, though. They're in field goal range for the regular season. Not sure if that matters for the preseason, but in this spot right now, working from around the 20-yard line, and that is a nice play and a first down pickup. Was that Adrian Martinez stepping up in the pocket? Delivers a strike, and that moves the chains. Looks like, is that Jake Tonjes? No, who is that? It's a different tight end. I don't know who the Hodge, whoever Hodge is, converts the first down. Now the Niners are down to the goal line, or first and goal scenario, not at the goal line, probably around what, the 7-yard line for San Francisco. They're up to 12.5-point favorites. 44.5 is currently your total. If the Chargers can limit this drive to a field goal, I think this could be interesting towards the end, but if they score a touchdown, ooh, it might be curtains for Los Angeles, who closed as a -1.5-point favorite, total 38.5 from a total perspective. There's a lot. It feels like there's a lot hinging on this drive here. And I'm curious, after the Niners miss on a first down try for a connection through the air, if we face a fourth down scenario. Earlier in the game, we had one with the Chargers. They opted to bring out the kicking unit. Will Kyle Shanahan do the same? I wonder. Because if you get a fourth down stop there, all of a sudden take some points off the board and makes things interesting depending on if you're over or under on this total right now. You'll feel either positive or negative about the situation. That's a nice run right up the gut by the 49ers. And now We are looking at, let's see, a third and goal coming up. I'm going to stay with this, and I'm going to give you, we had the Pro Football Futures Draft earlier today here on VSiN. 13 competitors, your favorite VSiN hosts, also Keyshawn Johnson in the mix, Nick Bakay, and we brought the guru back, baby, John Hansen, part of the fold. Check it out, VSiN.com, the write-up with a recap of all the picks. On top of that, you can go back and watch the entire thing on YouTube as well. Third and goal coming for San Francisco. Shotgun set. There's a flag. I think that's going to be on the defense. And the ball is fumbled but picked up by Martinez, who is spinning around and just throws it away. But that's going to be a free play and a new set of downs for San Francisco, I believe, with the flag thrown. So it does feel like San Francisco is capable of punching this in. What I wanted to do, since I hosted the Pro Football Futures Draft, is I was willing to take what was left, right? And I didn't experience this as a child. I mean, look at this body. But when other people maybe eat all the good stuff off the dinner table, you're just kind of picking at the bones, trying to get the cartilage and the meat off of it. That's kind of what I'm doing, picking at what's left of the carcass of chicken that's on the dinner table. I'm going to tins what everyone didn't choose, and I'll go toe-to-toe with any of them. I'll go to toe-to-toe with all of the Pro Football Futures Draft by just taking what's left. So let's begin. Here are the rules. I have to take two division winners. I have to take two win total overs, two win total unders, two player props, and two stat leaders. That's what we're looking at here. So we begin with my division winners. And remember, I'm picking what's left. And there's not much. When you factor in 13 people and they each have two of all of these, only 32 teams in the league, y'all. My division winner number one. We are going to go with the New York Giants to win the Eastern Conference. By the way, real quick, that was not a penalty on the defense. Did I just see that was a fourth and goal scenario and the Niners just threw the ball away? What is the penalty here? Holding on the defense now on the fourth and goal. So that's brutal. It's now first down. So everything I just said was going to happen just happened. Just play it later. My first division winner, we're going to take the New York Football Giants at 6-1. The problem with this one, there was only three left that made sense to me. It was the Giants, the Colts, and the Packers. The first one I'm going to choose out of that group is I'm going to choose the Giants. Year one of Harbaugh, there's an element of surprise. In a world where maybe Philly doesn't get the offense right, the transition from Kingsbury to a new OC in Washington and David Blau doesn't go as smoothly. And then on top of that, Dallas is hyped up a lot, and we know what happens when the Cowboys are very hyped up. Is there a world where John Harbaugh, who is such an upgrade over the schmoes of the past leading the New York Football Giants, is there a world where they can win this division? I like them over on their 7.5 win total. More on that in a moment. But 6-1 to win this division, let's take a shot. Hope that the floor is raised. The defense actually gets better without Dexter Lawrence, in my opinion, because they allocated that money into a bunch of positions in need, and they stunk at stopping the run with him. He didn't help that. He was more of a pass rusher, and the pass rush is plenty deep. The other division winner I'm going to go with, let's take the Packers to win the North, plus 225. Dobbs leaving, Dontavian Wicks is gone. I see that as a positive. You have more defined roles for what was maybe the deepest receiver room in the league. You still have a first-round pick in Matthew Golden. You still have an electric receiver in Christian Watson. Jaden Reed is awesome. And then Tucker Kraft is maybe top three, top four tight end in the league. Plus, they still have backups with Savion Williams and Bo Melton, who've played a ton in their career. On top of that, the other thing I keep hearing, they lost Jeff Hafley to the Dolphins. Guys, they brought in Jonathan Gannon. He may have stunk as a head coach. Look what his defenses did in Philly that got him the Cardinals job. It's going to be huge for their edges, huge for their linebackers. I think Franklin has a great year. I think he unlocks Lucas Van Ness. And then when they get Parsons back in week six, I don't think it's crazy to think this team is 4-1 at that point. There is pressure on Matt LaFleur to deliver. I think Jordan Love, the conversation about him now makes him underrated with the disrespect he's getting. And I'll add this. The North is going to be a bloodbath. It is going to be battles week in and week out. I'm not sure you need much more than 10 wins to win this division here. I think it's that tough top to bottom. So give me the Packers plus 225 to win the North. My win total, the Giants over 7.5. That is one. I'll give you an under. We're going to go with the New Orleans Saints under 7.5 wins. I'm not buying what everyone else is cooking with this team. I just think when you look at Tyler Shuck and what he did down the stretch, it was good. But if the league can figure out C.J. Stroud the way that they did in year two and year three, Shuck was not expected to do much. Guys didn't have good draft grades on him. They didn't know how to evaluate him. And look at the teams he beat. He ain't beat nobody down the home stretch. I'm fading New Orleans, who is very trendy, under 7.5. That is my one of my unders. Back to my overs, and look, I've been negatively talking about this team and their quarterback situation, but the Atlanta Falcons will go over 7.5. I just need them to be one game under 500 to cash this thing, and I'm not very impressed by the division in the NFC South. I also didn't want to double down and take the Packers win total, which was one of my few options I had for the over. It was the Giants, the Falcons, the Packers. I took the Giants and the Falcons because I don't want to go both on Green Bay here. Little strategy, but I need Michael Penix out there if this bet's going to cash. And I think if this defense can just create some pass rushers without James Pierce, who's suspended, and Jalen Walker, they can win 8 games. The division's still bad, and Stefanski's a boost. And then finally, my other under, I'll stay in the NFC North as I'm on the Packers to win the North. I'm also on the Lions under 10.5 wins. Division's too tough. I don't think it's just going to be that easy that their schedule's so easy. It still matters head-to-head in division for them. And they have issues at offensive line. They have issues at cornerback even before they lost Terrion Arnold. And they need a complimentary edge rusher to Aiden Hutchinson because he's going to be double-teamed. And I don't know where they generate that pass rush from outside of him. All those are premium positions. Lions are weak there. I'm going to go with those under 10.5 on the Lions there. Also, let's go Tyler Warren for my prop. We're looking at his over receiving yard prop. I believe it was 775.5. I didn't actually write it down. I bet over 750.5 at BetMGM, but we're using DraftKings lines here, and they were a little bit larger, I think 774.5. But Tyler Warren is kind of the de facto number one in Indy. Pittman's gone. Alec Pierce is dealing with an injury. Josh Downs isn't healthy. They're going to face last year's versus tight ends defenses. 32nd, 31st, 29th, 28th, 23rd twice, and 22nd. Eight of their games will be versus bottom 10 defenses versus tight ends last year. I like Warren. And I'm going David Montgomery, over 7.5 rush touchdowns. Texans were one of the worst teams in the red zone converting into scores a season ago. That's why they got Montgomery. He fixes that issue. And 7.5. He had 8, 12, and 13 the last 3 years, splitting time with Jahmyr Gibbs. So that's where we stand. I still have my leaders that I need to break down as well. I gave you the win totals. I gave you the division winners, and I gave you the player props. Later on, I'll unveil what I'm going to do with the leader props. That is next, but more prop bets coming up on the other side of Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for hanging out with us. As look, football's back in our lives. It's a beautiful thing. Sweating out preseason games, looking at more futures. Still to come on the show in about 30 minutes. We'll go behind the counter. Arthur DeCesar, longtime bookmaker, his thoughts on these preseason line moves. Irrelevant in week one. We'll see how that develops in week two of the preseason. Colby Dant in 1 hour, Sports Gambling Podcast Network. College football, we're a week away, baby. We'll have FCS football. The season begins a week from now. And then week zero, hot and heavy the rest of the weekend. Colby with his best plays coming up in an hour on the show. And I'm looking forward to this next conversation because you guys know Eric Cohen. We have him on the show every week. And when he tells me he loves someone as a sharp bettor, I listen. I've known Eric a while. He's a sharp guy in his own right. We're going to welcome in someone he's been hyping up to me for a while. Alex Selesnik, Sportsline Handicapper, better known as Prop Stars with a Z. You can find him on X. And he joins us now on the program. Alex, pumped to chat with you, my friend. Before we get to plays you like and what you're looking at this season, as someone who attacks these prop markets, can you help our audience understand who maybe they don't dabble as much? They're more side, total, awards bettors. What's your process like for finding these bets that you like each year?
Yeah, so I think the prop market provides plenty of opportunities. Certainly for me, it's the market that I most heavily invest in. I think first and foremost, it's important to have reliable projections, whether you're making your own projections or you're outsourcing projections. I think that's very important. And just kind of studying the macro trends as well. Like when it comes to player props, for a long time, you could just kind of blindly take unders for season long props and you'd have a pretty successful hit rate. That's shifted though. Over the course of the last couple of years, I think there's actually a lot more value starting to open up on the other side. So just kind of being conscientious of various trends and also kind of studying things up close. But like I said, having projections really goes a long way in finding inefficiencies in the market.
Yeah, that's the smart way to do it. You create your number. And if there's a huge difference in where the market's at, then you know to fire. And sometimes for me, man, I was looking the other day because I want to get in on Tyler Warren over receiving yards. There was just a difference at the book where one had it, I think, at 750 and one had it 774 and a half. On principle, I just took the lower one over, and if I want, I can go under and potentially, you know, middle this thing. Let's begin with some of the plays that you like for this season. And I got to tell you, the first one you told me you're on, it's one I was looking at earlier today that I was like, I can't, that number just feels a little bit low based on the way the season went last year. Colston Loveland, another year here for him, maybe the number one weapon for the Chicago Bears, his season-long receiving prop, 800.5 yards, and you want to go over.
Yeah, absolutely, Dustin. This is a significant position for me. I really thought Colston Loveland, especially down the stretch last season, really flashed some just tremendous upside. To me, he looks like a prime Travis Kelce. Honestly, over the final four games, including two playoff games, he was averaging 12 targets, averaged close to 100 receiving yards, was very active in the red zone. I'm also extremely bullish on Caleb Williams in year three of this Ben Johnson offense here. He's going to be the primary target. DJ Moore vacating opens up even more targets for Colston Loveland, who really looks like one of the best tight ends in the NFL to me. So I think he's primed, poised for a massive year two. I think he takes a big jump here. I think he could clear this line of 800 yards in 10 to 12 games, frankly. So I think he'll be operating again as that primary target in this offense that's going to be vastly improved with Caleb Williams taking a big jump. So, yeah, I think Colston Loveland's heading for a monster season.
Yeah, I love that one. Alex Selesnik is our guest, Sportsline handicapper. He goes by Prop Stars on X. That's Propstarz on X. The next one here is an interesting one as well because one of the more off-the-wall developments was in Jacksonville where we all assumed Brian Thomas Jr. was the number one. That's not the case. Parker Washington is number one, and all the talk out of camp is he is working to stay as the number one. Season-long prop, 750.5. You want to go over or under another year of Parker Washington?
I'm going over here as well, Dustin. This is another significant position for me. I was extremely encouraged by Parker Washington's usage down the stretch. He firmly established himself as the top playmaker in that offense, in my opinion. Much improved passing offense, by the way. I thought Trevor Lawrence made a lot of strides last season, but really what's most valuable is he's going to have that full-time slot role in a Liam Cohen offense. Liam Cohen, dating back to when he was coordinating the Bucks, Chris Godwin was second in points per game and fantasy points, had an absolute monster season. Cooper Kupp as well, when he spearheaded the offense for Los Angeles. So this slot role is extremely valuable in a Liam Cohen offense. They also run three wide receiver sets at the third highest rate in the NFL. Parker Washington heading into the season, he's never gotten a big contract. He's a sixth round pick out of Penn State, but he's built like a running back. His yak ability is extremely impressive. He's got this full-time slot role in this Jacksonville offense. I think he offers tremendous upside. I think he could potentially have a 12 to 1,300-yard season as the primary playmaker for Trevor Lawrence for a passing attack that's vastly improved. So I think Parker Washington's headed for another big year.
That's a great breakdown. We're chatting with Alex Selesnik, Sportsline handicapper at Prop Stars with a Z on X. James Cook is coming off a monster season, 1,600-plus rushing yards, 12 rushing touchdowns. The prop this year for touchdowns, Alex, set at 10.5. Which direction are you going to go here?
I'm fading James Cook. James Cook, one of the most productive running backs in the NFL the past two seasons, racked up 28 rushing touchdowns, but so much had to go right for James Cook. First and foremost, he hasn't missed a game in the past two seasons. I think that's a trend that's unlikely to occur again. Obviously, playing the running back in the position in the NFL, we know how much wear and